feel the real need of your prayers. It's a fearful thing to stand and speak on behalf of Almighty God. To entreat Him to know in a setting like this what He would have and the message that He would convey. Isn't that what our desire, what our interest is? Lord, if You were here, what would You speak to us? Believe that the Lord has given me a burden and impressed upon me that He'd have us to share this with You this evening. Whenever I look back at the creation of God's hands, whenever I look at all that God created and the mighty power by which He spoke this world into existence and created man, and He looked upon it and He said of all that He had created, that it's good. Whenever God looks on something and says that it's good, it's far from me to be able to think how I could improve upon it, how I could make it something better or something more complete or more perfect. But what God did and what He created was a perfect plan. And He said, Adam and Eve in the garden there, and He said, look at all that I've given you. Look at all that I've made available to you. There's one thing, though, that I don't want you to touch. Of all that I've given you, of all the trees, they're yours to partake of. But the one tree that's in the middle of the garden, the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, don't partake of that tree. Whenever I've often wondered how was it, whenever the Lord would come and talk in the cool of the evening, what would that have been like for the Lord to walk right beside you by His Spirit, to hear His voice? Did He explain to him? Teach Adam? Could hear and to feel His Spirit? But there came something that completely disrupted that entire beautiful, perfect plan. What God had created, what He had made perfect now, Adam and Eve came to a place that they realized, and for the first time ever, man felt guilt. For the first time ever, man experienced what it felt like to know shame. They realized at that moment that they were naked and unclothed. And at that moment, for the first time, there was something that entered into the heart that brought a separation from God. That they realized then, no more did they feel themselves just drawn to God. But there was something that it says they sought to hide themselves from God. Oh, what a foolish thing to somehow think that we can do. But they felt a need within them. There's something here that I'm ashamed of. They tried to deal with it in their own. They tried to sew an apron of fig leaves, tried to make a correction themselves, but man's efforts fall far short. To be able to remedy the effect of sin in a life, to be able to somehow pay the price and correct and set again on a right course. It could never be the same. It could never by man's efforts. And so as they were there and they heard the voice of God, you know, suddenly the voice of God sounded altogether different to them. The voice that they knew so well, all of a sudden now it was filled with shame, filled with guilt that just flooded over them. You know, that's what the effect of sin is on the heart and life. It is something that is so sad to see. A young child, and I'm just getting old enough now that I can start to look back on some that I've watched them from childhood. And I've seen the innocence on their face. And you see them grow up to the time that they start making their own choices in life. And you see them start to make some of the wrong choices. And you see the look on their face change. You see the countenance altogether change. There's something that's happened. That innocence is gone now. That beautiful plan that God had made, now tarnished, destroyed, never more the same. Now that voice that one time I believe they longed to hear, now spoke to them and said, you're put out from the garden. Now the presence of the Lord by the means of an angel stood at the gate to keep the way and to keep it apart. I think sometimes of Saul. King Saul that was called of God was in the will of God, in the hand of God, until he got to a place that he disobeyed. Until he came to a place that he became exalted in himself, and he disobeyed the Lord. He sinned against Almighty God. And at that point, something began to happen. The kingdom was taken from him. And I look at the end of that story, and I think how sad. You know, it didn't have to end that way. It wasn't destined to end that way. For Cain, it wasn't destined to end that way. He said, I've set before you the choice. It's yours to make. But King Saul, the one that had known the voice of the Lord, the one that has said that as a young man, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied, came to a point in his life that he needed an answer from the Lord after he had sinned. And he said, by means of Urim and Thummim, what God had designed for you to come by this means and discern what my will is. He couldn't hear anything. By the prophets, he couldn't hear anything. There were no dreams that came to him. There was silence in heaven. What an awful way to encounter. Whenever I need my prayers to go through, whenever I long to be able to commune with the Lord, the sky is made of brass. My prayers can't get through. There's no answer from heaven. But it didn't have to be so. This perfect plan that God made, it wasn't His will that they should disobey. It was His will that there be a tree, that there be a decision, there be a choice, that there be a will that every one of us can choose for ourselves the way that we're going to take. But you know, there's another scripture that tells me that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And my burden tonight is not, I want to look at sin for a moment. I want to deal with it as a foundation. But my burden tonight is forgiveness. I want us to realize that God has a perfect plan for our lives. He has a plan that He set and laid out that man could never surpass. The enemy can never offer us something better than what the Lord has set before us. But sin, as it enters into the heart and life, will ruin the plan. We'll turn it upside down. What God created to be beautiful, the Lord looking on that picture and realizing the choice that they can make, said, I have a remedy. I want to make a way back for them. If they should choose to go this way, what would it be like if the Lord gave us one chance? If the Lord gave us one opportunity and said, that's it. Remember the time that the children of Israel were in the wilderness? Murmuring, complaining. And the Lord sent serpents among the people. And the serpents were venomous, and every one that they bit, they began to die. Many people began to die, but the Lord, looking on that scene, God is a God of compassion and mercy, with the judgment on sin, also made a remedy. He also made a way, and He said, you make this pole, and on it you put a brass serpent, and everyone that looks to it, and it's a type of Jesus Christ, where it says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. If you look unto me, the curse can be broken. If you look unto me, there is forgiveness. There is another way. When the perfect plan is broken, I have a way to put the pieces back together through Jesus. I'd like to look at the 130th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 130, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. That's my message to us tonight. There is forgiveness with the Lord. Lord, if You were to look on every one of us, are there any of us that could raise our hands and say, oh, I'd still be all right? If the Lord counted iniquities, if the Lord didn't give second chances, would you still be here? I wouldn't. If the Lord marked iniquities, if the Lord kept a running tally of iniquities, of sins, of times that we had transgressed, but I want us to realize there is forgiveness with the Lord. There is mercy. There is a way back. 1 John, you'll turn with me. 1 to look at 1 John, the second chapter. I want to look a little bit of the first chapter. Sin. 7th verse, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Many times that's a scripture that's used to say, see, look there. If you say you don't have sin, but I want us to realize and take in harmony with all the other scriptures of the Word of God what this is saying. If any man were to say, as in Psalms, Lord, I'm one of those that could raise my hand if you marked iniquity, I wouldn't be in trouble. It's giving that message. If there's anyone that were to say, Lord, I don't need a Savior. Lord, I don't need the redemption plan. I don't have need of it. I'm not in a condition of sin and of transgression that I can't get myself out of. Every one of us, the Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. Not in our sins, not as we continue in our sins, but it cleanses us from all sins. Remember what Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery? Oh, she was another that was thankful for a second chance. As He looked on her and said, neither do I condemn thee. I believe that's the Lord's message to us tonight as well. If you find yourself in a place in your life, Lord, I know I made the wrong decision. I know I've gotten myself into trouble here. The Lord's message is, I've got forgiveness for you. I have a way for you to come back and be restored. But He went on to say that wasn't the end of His message. It wasn't for the woman, I want you to know you're forgiven. Go on and live the way that you've been living. That was addressed by Paul in the 6th chapter of Romans. What shall we say then? Because grace abounds, that we should continue in sin? Because we know the forgiveness of the Lord, don't presume on the grace of God. We don't live our lives in such a way that I continue in my sin. He said, God forbid. But the message that Jesus gave was, I have forgiveness for you. Now you go and sin no more. Go, I've delivered you from a life of sin. Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes when He was talking with them and said, I'll set you free. They said, we are free. We're not children of bondage. We're free. How many people today think I live in a free land? I'm free, but so many are bound by sin today. Jesus came to break the chains. He didn't come to loosen them. He didn't come to take a couple of them off, but to break the power of it. That it says in the 6th chapter of Romans that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth, from this time on out, I do not have to commit sin, that I should not serve sin. Go and sin no more. I've delivered you, the legion. When Jesus came along and He found legion, you know the townspeople had tried to deal with this problem? They had tried to bind Him. They had tried to take care of the issue, and it didn't work. You know, our society is trying to deal with problems right and left. It's like the whack-a-mole game, if you'll allow me to use that illustration. They try to take care of one, and another one pops up. They try to take care of that, and another one pops up. Well, this man had a mental issue. Well, this one, he had a gun he was able to get a hold of. That's the problem. No. It's not a psychological issue. It's a sin issue. It's not a mental issue. It's a sin issue in the heart of man. What man was not able to do to Legion. All the power was stronger than anything men were able to do. Jesus came along. And He didn't just put restraints on it. He didn't just lock them up with something strong enough. He said, come out. Be delivered. You're set free now. That man was a different man. He said, go back to the city that you came from. Let him see the miracle of salvation. You know, we live in a time that's skeptical of miracles. But I want to tell us this is perhaps the biggest miracle of them all. That the Lord can take a life that's broken, that's bound, that's troubled, and He can break the chains altogether. He can cleanse from sin, from every spot of it. It's still the Lord's desire. If any man be in Christ, he is an improved creature. He's a new creation. That old man is dead. Read the sixth chapter of Romans. Start to finish, it bears it out. The old man is crucified that you might not serve sin, but instead serve a new master. Oh, thank the Lord that there is deliverance and forgiveness with Him. I want to consider another story in this book of 2 Kings. Second Kings, the fifth chapter. Won't read all of this for the sake of time, but we're familiar with the story of Naaman. Naaman was a man that was a wealthy man, a well-known man, was one that had gained renown and recognition and was one that was important in stature. But he had a problem. He had leprosy. And he had that disease that took over the body. We heard about it a little bit in this meeting. That would just eat the body. It was something of disgrace, of shame, that was despicable. It marked a person. It didn't matter what station in life you were in. It didn't matter how important you were. If you have leprosy, there's nothing you can do about it. This man had a little maid that knew of the God of Israel. And she said, I would God my Lord could go and see the man of God. Because I know, is that our testimony, those of us that are saved? Because this is a type leprosy of sin on the life of an individual. Is it our testimony to be able to tell those that are lost around us, I would that you could meet the God that I know. I would that you could meet the one that delivered and set me free. Let me tell you my testimony. I don't continue in the same ways that I did. I'm a new creation. And so he went. An important man. Bearing gifts. You know we can't buy our salvation. Someone told me just recently that in the Catholic Bible, every place that it says repentance is translated penance. That's a big difference. Because penance are the acts that I do of crawling on my knees, of saying so many Hail Marys, of doing all these things that somehow I can show my contrition. Somehow by my own works I can buy my salvation. I think of a song that says, His blood is all my plea. That is our salvation. It's not by our own works. It's not because of who we are. But it is, as Naaman found out here, he went and he called for the man of God and he sent his servant out. Naaman was insulted by that. He was hurt by it. And so, maybe we should pick this up. Ninth verse of 2 Kings 5. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. Didn't want anything to do with it. I'm a man of greater stature than that. And I want us to realize in this picture, sometimes people want to come to the Lord in their own way. Sometimes I want relief. I want to change my life. But I want to do it my own way. I want to come to Him on my own terms. Folks, whenever we get truly desperate, Lord, I don't want to be a leper anymore. I don't want to carry this guilt and shame anymore. I can't get rid of it. I can't hide it. It marks me. Everything that I do, I'm a leper. When we get desperate enough, you know, we're willing to go and humble ourselves to the deepest place, to the old muddy creek, so to speak, and whatever it takes, you know, that's still the cry that the Lord is looking for from everyone that's spotted, from everyone whose conscience is defiled. If you're willing to come to me and humble yourself, give up your identity, give up your pride and say, Lord, I want healing to my heart. I want healing to my conscience. Lord, I want to be able to have a clean, clear conscience again. You know, the Lord is able to do the same thing for the heart that He was for Naaman's skin. Whenever he rose up and it was clean and completely clear, so is the work of salvation in the heart. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 8th verse, says, For this cause was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. For this cause, not to come and set up shop, so to speak, set up dual kingdoms, but He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to completely clear it. And so I say all this to cause us to realize the Scripture is very clear. We are to live a sin-free life. We are to go forward cleansed and clear and forgiven and delivered and walk in newness of life. Not to walk in the old ways of sin. Not to carry those things with me. You know, I want to look back now to the second chapter of 1 John, where we were. First John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Thank the Lord. I write this unto you of all the instruction that I give you. It's for this cause. It's for this purpose. This is the plan of God. This is the work of salvation in a heart. That you go and sin no more. You know, it is a highway. It's a highway of holiness. It's a pure and a holy life. Many times the doctrine of living a sin-free life is attacked because those that aren't living it. It's hard for me to elevate the road above where I'm at if I'm not experiencing it for myself. But folks, we can't lower the standard to match where we're at. That's not going to gain us entrance into God's heaven. The plan and the design is go and sin no more. These things, this instruction that I give you, that you don't have to sin. You know, I fear that there are those that hear these kind of things, they hear the messages, and think it all sounds good. It all sounds right. In my mind, I know that's right. By theology, I can see how you could put it together. But I'm not experiencing it. I don't feel it. It's not my testimony. I'm not able to say amen. There's something in my life that I've struggled with. I haven't been able to gain the victory over. And I want us then to look at the rest of this Scripture. And if any man sin, I've given you the roadmap. I've given you the commandment. This is the plan of God. But if you do, if you should find yourself in a place, lest any man should fall short of the grace of God, if you find yourself in this place, He said, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a way back. It's not hopeless. It's not the end of the story. You know, the enemy is right there, the song, He lifted me out. He said in one verse, He whispered, you're doomed now for A. You know, I've heard the enemy tell me that same thing before in my life. Whenever I've fallen, I've stumbled, I realized, Lord, I wasn't what I wanted to be there. And the enemy is right there to say there's no hope. You've tried before. You wanted to do the right thing. You weren't able to. You fell short. There's no hope. You know, that is the enemy. That's the author of hopelessness and despair. That's not the dealings of the Lord and the way He works with us. But His message to us is, you don't have to. You don't have to sin. But if you do, I came to pay a price so that you could have a way back. I came to pay a price so that it won't be the end of the story. 26th chapter of Matthew. One of my favorite characters in the New Testament. Peter. Matthew 26. Peter wasn't much one to mince words. He wasn't much one to sit on his thoughts. I don't think if you were with Peter, you ever had to wonder what Peter was thinking, how he viewed a situation. He wanted the Lord to know that He loved him. I want to pick up in the 31st verse, Matthew 26. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered, and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee. Lord, maybe you didn't hear me. Lord, though I die with you, I will never, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Do you think Peter didn't mean that? Do you think Peter at that moment was trying to pull a quick one on the Lord? I've got something in my heart. Judas had something in his heart. But I believe Peter meant this with all his heart. Lord, of course I love you. No, I'm not. That's not my plan. That's not my desire. I'll never forsake you. Maybe these other guys over here will, but I want you to know if all the others of them aren't there, Lord, I'm going to be the one that's there with you. I'm going to be the one that's still there standing, defending you. Oh, Peter. The Spirit indeed is willing. But you got a problem with the flesh. It's weak. You want to do the right thing. Philippians, I think it is, maybe the 4th chapter, said it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not just a want to. Remember what Paul wrote in the 7th chapter of Romans? The things that I would, I don't do. And the things that I want to do, I don't. The things that I know are wrong, those are the things I find myself doing. Not talking about a justified experience. Under the law, I find this kind of experience. I find this is the limit of my righteousness under the law. But so many today are still living a law experience. Still living in that same kind of place. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter, I know you mean it. My words, my thoughts. Peter, I know you mean it. I know your Spirit is willing. I know, and later on when Peter drew his sword, I'm going to show you now. Cut off the high priest ear, the guard, whoever was there with him. Cut off his ear. Malchus, I'm going to show you, Lord, that I mean it. But something began to happen. And Peter's will wasn't enough. You fast forward a little ways here in the 75th verse. Oh, maybe 72nd. This carries on a few verses before this. And again he denied with an oath, saying, I do not know this man, the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Then he went out and wept bitterly. The very thing that Peter said, Lord, I'll never do it. I'll never. Have we ever started out with that kind of determination? Lord, I've got things fixed up. I'll never go back on you. And Peter was here in a place that all of a sudden he heard the cock crow. In the heat of the moment, whenever the pressure was on, whenever he was caught up in the heat of the moment and he reacted according to the flesh, he found himself in a moment of weakness and he yielded to that moment of weakness. Can you imagine? I want us this evening to put ourselves for a little bit in Peter's shoes. How do you think Peter felt whenever he heard the cock crow? And another place that bears out, I believe in Luke, that whenever the cock crew, Jesus turned and looked on Peter. Can you imagine that look? Of the one that sees right through to the heart. The one that looks at me and all of a sudden I'm laid open. All of a sudden it comes sweeping over me, the guilt and the shame and the regret. Oh Lord, I did it. I didn't mean to, Lord. I didn't want to go. That wasn't my purpose. It wasn't my plan. But Lord, here I am. And he saw that in Jesus. So I'm going to tell you, I don't think that was a look of, told you so. I don't think it was a look of disgust. I believe with all my heart it was a look of love on Peter. The Lord knew what Peter was feeling. The Lord knew what Peter's heart and his desire was. But I want us to back up a little bit. Peter didn't go from saying, Lord, I'll die with you, to I never knew the man. It was a short period of time. But look at the 58th verse. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. There was still something in Peter. I still have an attachment to this. I still care about him. But something had begun to happen. And he put some distance between him and the Lord. You know, that's a recipe for trouble every time. In our lives, whenever we start getting some distance between us and the Lord, that's the first step to failure. That's the first step to getting into a place that all of a sudden I don't have the strength that I need. He started following. I still want to go this way. I still want to do the right thing. I still want to live for the Lord. But I don't want to be up there where the heat is. I'm going to just be an observer. Lord, help us. Are we following afar off today? You know, sometimes whenever this realization happened, it happened with Adam and Eve. Whenever they partook of the fruit and all of a sudden their eyes were open and they realized. In this case, whenever Peter heard the cock crow, whenever he saw the look of Jesus, you know, I believe it all came flooding back to him. I believe looking back then, he was able to see clearly. Oh, Lord, why did I follow afar off? Lord, I should have seen. I should have known. I should have seen the warning signs, but, oh, regret. Regret. Why didn't I do this differently? Why didn't I change this? Why couldn't I have just stood up and been a man? Peter had some time to think about it. 3 days. 2 days, 3 nights. Can you imagine the hopelessness that Peter must have felt? Because they came to a place, although Jesus had prophesied of what would happen, that they finally said, well, we go fishing. We're going to go back. He's been crucified now. He's dead. He's gone. I don't have the chance to tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't have the chance. I can't go back and undo it now. Have you ever wished that there were decisions that you made? If only I could turn the clock back. If only I could change that decision that I made. It's too late now. I can't. Lord, you're crucified now. I wasn't there for you like I wanted to be. But on that third day, whenever Jesus arose and the tomb was empty, the angel came unto Mary and said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. He added Peter like he was singling him out. Not because he wasn't one of the disciples, but you go take a special message to Peter. You know what that message really was? Peter, the story's not over. Peter, hope isn't gone. You have the opportunity now. You have hope now. You have the opportunity to show me that you love me. You have the opportunity now. It's not the end of the story. You know, that's what His resurrection means to every one of us. It's not the end of the story. There's still a way. There's still a way back to Him. With Him, there is forgiveness. Oh, thank the Lord for it. You know, we can get discouraged and think, but I've tried before. I've tried. I made the determination. I've said before to you, Lord, that I wouldn't fail you. And I got under heat, and Lord, I did it again. You know, there are a couple of things the enemy would like for us to do. Whenever we find ourselves in this kind of a place, one is to justify it and to defend it. But there's reasons. I'm justified in what I don't think it's really, don't do it. Don't fall into the trap of trying to justify a shabby life. Don't fall into the trap of the enemy to try to pat myself on the back, to try to defend the actions that I know aren't right. You know where it leads? Deception. It leads me to the place that I've convinced myself that it's all right. The enemy would like for us to ignore it. Go on. Well, it happened. I'll move on. Keep on going. You know, that's one of the great dangers of the false doctrine of sin you must. And I know there are many that are, I believe, that are sincere, that the Lord can save, and it may be subjected to that kind of doctrine. But the danger of it is even for an honest, sincere soul. When they're taught and indoctrinated and given the teaching that you must sin more or less every day. It's going to happen. You sin, well, you'll do it again here in a minute. You'll do it again tomorrow. The danger is that we become desensitized to it. What the Lord is looking for is contrition. It's like Peter did whenever he went out and he wept bitterly. Whenever he went and he poured his soul out before the Lord. But you know, it's hard to do that 5 times a day. It's hard to do that over and over and over and over. There's a danger of becoming desensitized. I want to call our minds to the 51st chapter of Psalms, familiar chapter, David. David was another that was thankful for a second chance. I believe Jonah was another. He would have become permanent fish food. David, the Lord found Jonah there in the bottom of the sea. Jonah, I've spared you for a reason. I've got a second chance. I've got another opportunity for you. David, the one that said, Lord, my sin is ever before me. And notice, David was not one of those that made excuse. You can see the difference between Saul and David. Well, Lord, the people said. The people did. But when David was found out, whenever the Lord sent the prophet to talk to David, Lord, I am the man. Lord, I know I am. My sin is ever before me. Cleanse me, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Lord, I long to have created me a clean heart. I long for that. I want that, Lord. I do want to look at a couple of verses here. 51st Psalm. Started with, have mercy upon me. Cast not away from thy presence. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The 11th verse. 17th verse. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know that's a promise? That's a promise that continues to us still today. A broken and a contrite heart. One that comes as Naaman was finally willing to do. Lord, on your terms. Lord, I'm desperate. I don't want to carry this anymore. Lord, I can't handle this kind of guilt. Judas couldn't handle it. Our world's taking antidepressants and all kinds of things to try to cope. with what the Lord wants to restore. I'll give you for your cloak and your spirit of heaviness, I'll give you the oil of joy. Your broken heart, I want to mend it again. It wasn't my plan for you to get into this place. But all my entire redemption plan is to get you out of it. It's to set your feet again on the right path. To restore, as David longed for, Lord, restore unto me. Are you here tonight with a need? Do you recognize the Lord, I haven't been what I know you want me to be? Lord, I purposed to. Maybe I desired to, Lord. Maybe I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to be what you wanted me to be. But Lord, I find myself in this place. I don't feel the joy of your presence, Lord. I know that somewhere along the line I've transgressed. I want us to know tonight, with the Lord, there is forgiveness. With the Lord, there is a way back. But the recipe, confirmed also in the 28th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 28 and 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Scripture says that some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And other men, they follow after. Other men meet the sins and meet the deeds that they've done whenever they get into the presence of God. And they face it at that time. What do we want? To deal with it now, to get it out in the open. Don't cover your sins. You won't prosper. Don't try to just ignore it and go on, but come to the place that I run to the Lord, that I plead His mercy, that I plead His forgiveness with a broken and a contrite heart. The tendency is sometimes, as it was with Adam and Eve, they try to distance themselves from the Lord. That's not a time to distance yourself from the Lord. It's not a time to just continue on, but seek the Lord with all your heart. Run to Him. It's a song, a secret room. I had a place in my heart that even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there I didn't want anyone to know. Those that don't know all the words, one day the Savior came, said, I want to go in that secret place. I was so ashamed. I wasn't ready for Him to go in that secret place. I had some things hidden there. But instead He came in and He cleaned it out. With tears of love on His face, He said, I want to make you clean. The song goes on to say, and now there's nothing in my heart. I don't have anything hidden there anymore. I want to encourage us tonight. If you're carrying a load of guilt, if you're carrying shame, if you have something in your life that I've been trying to patch up, I've been trying to deal with, I've been trying to continue on, and it's ever before me. Lord, I want to get this thing right. I want to know that all is clear before you. I don't want a cloud over my title. I don't want to have any question marks. Lord, I want to know and make it clear. You know, we don't have to walk out these doors tonight carrying that kind of load. We don't have to go with a question mark on our lives anymore. With the Lord, there is forgiveness. If we've tried. You know, the Lord said of His people one time, I'll heal your backsliding. I want to heal it. It's not my will that you have to continue falling into the same place. You know, it's what the Holy Spirit's given to us for. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. I have the grace. The Lord has the grace. The Lord has the power for us to be able to live a holy life. It's His plan. It's His perfect will for every one of us. But if we're not there, the Lord still has a plan. The Lord still has a way for us to come back to Him and be restored, that we don't have to carry that kind of guilt and shame. Oh, I know Peter was a thankful man. And I believe he spent his days after that and received the Holy Spirit and was a different man. You don't read about the same Peter anymore. You know, his story is such an encouragement to me. Lord, You did it for Peter. You can do it for us. You pray for me. Amen. Maybe we could stand and have a song.